And joining us on the phone right now is David Marshak. David has explored multi-year classrooms for more than 20 years. He has consulted with more than 160 teachers who have created multi-year classes. He was has been a high school teacher, curriculum developer, assistant superintendent, and a professor of education. He is the author of 6 books and numerous articles, and we're thrilled to have him on the program this evening to talk about, I'm assuming, David, that this is your most recent book, Kids Need the Same Teacher for More Than 1 Year.
Hi, Bob. Yeah, it is. And it's a book that I've written primarily for parents to try to really get them to see that using the same resources that we already are spending for public education, that we could really do this in a significantly different way. And that's what the book is about.
Well, first of all, again, thank you so much for taking time to be with us this evening. And it's kind of a significant weekend for most places because kids are going back to school in a lot of areas, including ours, on Tuesday. But the model that we have seen, and primarily for elementary education, you go to school for roughly 9 months or some portion of that, and you finish, and then the next year you come back and you've got a different teacher, and that is the way it is for about 5 or 6 or 7 years. How did that model get started, and how has it been determined that something else would work better?
Well, that idea that throughout elementary school, beginning in kindergarten, that every June we would have children say goodbye to their teacher whom they've just spent the previous 9 or 10 months with and developed a relationship of caring and knowledge and support in learning and all those good things. That idea actually was developed back in Germany at the beginning of the 19th century, so in the early 1800s, because the Germans had the first public school system. And in the 1840s, when Horace Mann, who was the leader of the common school movement in Massachusetts, was able to convince people to tax property to provide schooling for everybody's children, which was the public school idea, he went to Prussia, which was then the largest principality in Germany, and observed in their school system, and he brought a delegation of folks with him. So when they came back to Massachusetts, they copied a good deal of the Prussian school system, and one part of that was to say every year we're going to give children a new teacher. Now, they didn't have the benefit in the 19th century of about 90 years of psychology, and we know now that one of the most important, if not the most important elements in determining the success of schooling is the relationship that children and teachers develop. It's a central piece of this, and the more that teachers know about a child, the more they can use their skills as an educator to help that child learn.
Well, it would seem to me that, the things that you say on the very surface of it make sense, that learning is a function of relationship, and if you can build strong relationships, that's just going to foster learning. And I have to assume that perhaps you were not the first person to suggest this. You may be the first person to be speaking out about it as dramatically as you are. So with that kind of understanding and something that makes, at least I would think to a lot of people, an awful lot of common sense, why hasn't this idea of children staying with one teacher longer taken a hold more than it has in the very few places it has?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure that I know the answer. I'm not sure that anybody knows the answer. There are many multi-year classrooms throughout the nation. I'm sure that they're in the Minnesota. In Minnesota, I have a brother who lives in the Twin Cities, and so I've spent a good deal of time in that region. I know that there are multi-year classrooms in Twin City schools. But it's never been the normative format that we've said, this is the way we want to organize school. And there's a lot of reactionary energy. There's a lot of sense of, well, we've done it this way before, and this is good enough for me, so it's good enough for my children, or it's too hard to change, so let's just make it work. Or, you know, there are all these ideas about how we can't really change school.
Right.
And this is a really simple idea that, you know, it exists. We can find models of multi-year classrooms in every state in the country. We can find teachers who are doing this. And there's such an enormous benefit. One of the benefits, of course, is efficiency. So when a child comes back the second year to work with the same teacher, on day one, you know, next week, the day after Labor Day, instead of having 25 or 28 new children show up in the classroom when the teacher doesn't know anything about, on day one, you would have a teacher and children who know each other, who have a relationship. The kids know how the teacher works. The teacher knows where the kids are and what they need. And you can have 2 or 3 months of really good, focused education in that classroom. That's a big difference than a teacher starting out with 28 brand new kids.
Oh, absolutely. And again, for as long as it takes to build relationship, I mean, I have to assume that a fair amount of the school year is spent just, as you say, trying to get to know this one, that one, and the things about them they're going to help them teach. I know that you mentioned one of the parents in your book whose child was in this, and she was excited because before the school year was even done, they had an idea of the kinds of things that they were going to be working on the next year with that same teacher, with those same kids, and that the kids could kind of be prepared for that, and that really seems to make sense. And you mentioned that a lot of times we get into this, well, we can't do this, or it was good enough for me, therefore it's good enough for the kids today. Is there any good reason that you can think of, David, not to do it? Is it more expensive? Is it more difficult to do multi-year classrooms?
No, not at all in the elementary school. So there are really three barriers. One barrier is with teachers. And, you know, teachers, like all folks, are used to doing what they've done.
Sure.
And so with teachers, you really need to engage them in seeing why this could be of value to them rather than somebody coming along and saying, you know, on a statewide basis, okay, we're going to make everybody do this tomorrow. Because if you do that, you're going to have a lot of reaction against it. Kentucky tried to do that back in 1990. They passed an education reform law that, among other things, would have compelled all their elementary school teachers to teach in multi-year classrooms by 1996. They never consulted with the teachers. They never engaged the teachers in conversation. And when the teachers found out about it, they rebelled, and they worked very hard to get it repealed. So, you know, you have to engage the teachers in seeing the value. And the way you do that is by having the teachers who already teach in multi-year classrooms, who are all over the country, be able to share that message of how much value they gain by working with kids for 2 or 3 or 4 years. It's a very clear and moving testimony when you listen to teachers talk about it. And there's a lot of that in my book, where I did a lot of interviews with teachers in 4 different schools where multi-year classrooms are the norm. And there's a lot of detail that could be shared with teachers about why this is so valuable.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I remember when I was in school, I remember when my kids were in school, and now my grandkids, parents are always very concerned that they get so-and-so for their child's teacher next year or whatever, you know. I can see the benefit of somebody that gets along with the teacher real well. What about those instances where there is a personality problem or whatever the thing is? You know, now, okay, stick it out through the year and it'll be over. With multi-year classrooms, you're saying possibly for 3 more years.
Right. That's the other barrier, which is parents. And parents are worried, so what if my child gets stuck, you know, with a bad teacher or a teacher they can't get along with? And, again, the bad teacher issue is, so what happens now in our system? Let me preface this by saying that, I mean, I think that, you know, the vast majority of elementary school teachers range from good to great.
Yeah.
You know, but there are some who really shouldn't be there, just a very small minority. So the thing about bad teachers now is that the system really protects them, because it takes parents a couple of months to really figure out if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And once they decide there's a problem, you know, it might be December already, and then they have to decide, do I really want to get into this, you know, because they know it's going to be complex and probably messy, and they have to go to the principal and complain and try to get something done. And so a lot of parents in that situation, when they do run into a bad teacher, they do exactly what you just said. They say, okay, I'll stick it out for this year and we'll wait till next year. And that allows principals basically to keep teachers in schools who shouldn't be there.
Oh.
So, the other issue, though, is the personality conflict. You know, sometimes people just don't get along or they rub each other the wrong way, and this happens. I was an assistant superintendent in the public district in Vermont, and we had most of our elementary schools were in multi-year classrooms at the time, and once in a while, and, you know, I would say, if I recall, maybe twice in 4 years or three times in 4 years, we had situations where we did have that problem. And so what we did is we approached this with a problem-solving approach. We said, we're not going to blame, you know, it's not that it's a bad teacher, it's not that it's a bad kid, but let's sit down and talk about it. And we got the parents and the child and the teacher and the principal, and then I sat in as the district representative, and in a couple of those cases, we were able to solve the problem. There was a misunderstanding, and we were able to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
In another case or two, we said, this doesn't really seem to be solvable, so let's just move this child to another teacher. And it wasn't a big deal. And again, the key to that was that we weren't blaming the teacher. We weren't blaming
right.
the child.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying, let's make this work.
Sure.
But the bottom line is that it doesn't happen very often, and that's because if you're about to enter into a 2 or 3 year relationship or 4 year relationship, what happens is that the adults make a greater effort to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to rise to the occasion. And I've seen again and again parents who, you know, they were a little bit uncertain at first, and then as they got to see the benefits of having their child with a teacher, even in the first year where there was the anticipation that there was going to be continuity for 2 years or 3 years, and then clearly in the second, third year when they were experiencing that continuity, parents really found this to be tremendously positive, because one of the great anxieties, you know, for parents is every year they have to be anxious about, is my kid going to get a good teacher?
Sure, sure.
And then there are children who have an enormous amount of anxiety about the new situation. Now, where else in our children's lives do we say to them, okay, well, now you've got a great relationship with an adult, and we're just going to come to this arbitrary date in June, and we're going to throw this away.
We're going to end it. Yeah. We're visiting with David Marshak. David is the author of Kids Need the Same Teacher for More Than 1 Year. Yeah, in the course of our conversation, David, we have talked about, you know, more than 1 year, and you've mentioned 2 and 3, and I heard a little while ago, maybe even 4. Can you tell by the work that you have done with various schools and various teachers and various classrooms, is there an optimum, is there a best number? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Or do we even know?
I would say that there's no kind of magic formula. It really depends to a large extent about what the people believe in the situation that they're in. A lot of folks begin with a 2 year relationship, and once they've done that for a while, that's kind of the safest way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've done that for a while, I've known schools or teachers where they've then said, well, let's do a 3 year, you know, let's take an elementary program and let's have children work with one teacher in grades 1 through 3, another teacher in 4 through 6, or sometimes K through 2 and 3 through 5. And you know, whereas one of the schools that I wrote about in the book is a public middle school outside of Seattle, where there is a 4 year relationship.
Hmm.
Now, it's a middle school, so it's a relationship not just with one teacher, but with 5 teachers. But the same 5 teachers teach all of the students from 6th grade through 9th grade. And in middle school, that's a really interesting and powerful relationship, because for a lot of early adolescents, this is a time of a lot of upheaval.
I should say.
They're distancing themselves from their parents. They're really immersing themselves in the teen culture. And it's really good for them to have adults who know them and who care about them, and adults who they know and who they trust. And there are a lot of young teens in our society that don't have anybody in that situation.
It was
available to them.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the more interesting things I found about the book, because when I first got into it and started to read it and also think about this, I thought, well, okay, that makes sense for elementary school, kindergarten through 5th or 6th, some do. But what about middle school where you get into changing classes? But as I read it, that can work just as well, if not better even, in middle school. Do you advocate the same for high school?
Well, the issue for high school is different. In middle school, it's not unreasonable to expect the science teacher to teach 7th grade science and 8th grade science or 6th grade, you know, to teach
sure.
all of the years of science, or to expect the math teacher to teach all the years of math.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, there's more subject differentiation, and most biology teachers teach biology. They, right. you know, they haven't prepared to teach chemistry or physics.
Right.
So certainly in the sciences, it's not going to work. And often with math teachers, although clearly they're prepared to teach all 3 years of math, a lot of them tend to specialize. Not everybody teaches calculus if you have a high school that offers an AP calculus course.
Yeah.
So I would say that the interesting thing about relationship in high school is that we know there's a good deal of research now that shows that if you want to reduce the dropout rate in high school, one of the simplest ways to do this is to set up a teacher advisor program, and that is that you assign some number of kids in ninth grade to each teacher, and you set up a schedule where they have a chance to meet together for, you know, some period of time each week, even 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then those students stay with that advisor for the whole 4 years.
Okay.
This teacher advisory model can help reduce that sense of anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids drop out of high school with the perception and feeling that nobody knows them and nobody cares about them. And that's, unfortunately, particularly in large schools, unfortunately may be true. So one way to get at that is really a teacher advisory.
Sure.
The way that you do see multi-year relationships in high school, and you, again, see the direct relationship between this and success in high school, is you see it in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches coach kids for 3 or 4 years.
Oh,
you
sure.
see it in the music programs.
In the extracurricular areas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in the arts programs, where you generally have the same adult. But unfortunately, those, if you add up all those programs, we're still only talking about, you know, 20% or 25% of the kids.
Mm-hmm. In the couple seconds that we have left, you mentioned earlier that in instituting this in various schools and areas, that you had to, I don't mean convince, but work with the teachers to show them the benefit. What about the parents? Is that an issue also in terms of trying to get this to work?
Parents are really open to learning about it, in my experience. And in the book, in the last chapter, what I describe is I think the most immediate way to begin to get multi-year classrooms going actually is going to come from parents organizing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers are really stuck to a large extent in a bind now because of all the pressure on them in relation to test scores. And there's not a lot of energy left that I see, at least here in Washington State, and I don't know that we're all that different from Minnesota or anywhere else. On the other hand, I think parents can say, if they read the book or if they get interested in this idea, they can say, boy, I'd really like to have this for my child, and then they need to go and talk to the principal in the school about making that possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer they get is no, then they need to gather up a group of parents. And I describe this process in the book about I know a number of groups of parents in the Seattle area that I've worked over the years who were able to get their public school district to create multi-year classrooms, and in some cases multi-year schools, because they organized. They were persistent.
Sure.
They talked to school board members, you know, and eventually, it doesn't happen overnight, but eventually these groups succeeded.
Yeah.
So I think there's more opportunity right now for parents to really initiate this. I think you'll find, though, that a lot of teachers will be interested in going along.
Mm-hmm. We have been visiting with David Marshak. David is the author of the book, Kids Need the Same Teacher for More Than 1 Year, the Most Humane Innovation to Improve Education for Your Children. David, I want to, again, thank you so much for spending time with us on a Friday evening, particularly on a holiday weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed the book and appreciate your being on with us.